Hey guys, this is Jason Romano from Sports Spectrum, and I am excited about today's podcast guest, Nate Prosser, longtime NHL defenseman, played 10 seasons with the Minnesota Wild, his hometown team. He grew up in Elk River, Minnesota, and then he gets to play professionally for a decade with his hometown team, the Minnesota Wild. He also had a stint, and when I say stint, I mean a small stint with the St. Louis Blues, and then went to the Flyers to finish out his career with the Philadelphia Flyers and their organization. 360 career NHL games. He retired January 11th, 2022. He's now working in sports ministry as a hockey catalyst with Pro Athletes Outreach, a ministry that oversees our ministry of Sports Spectrum. I think you guys are going to love getting to know Nate Prosser. He's a great guy, an awesome husband and dad, has four girls. His wife, Britt, is tremendous. They are an amazing family, and it's going to be great to introduce you guys to Nate Prosser. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Compassion International. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world. They have been great partners with Sports Spectrum for many years now. And if you don't know about Compassion, I encourage you to go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum. That's the website, compassion.com/sportsspectrum. You'll see a list of children there, and you'll see exactly what Compassion is all about. Christ-centered, and it's a child development program that keeps these kids out of poverty situations. And there are kids from as young as 1 or 2 years old, all the way up to in their teenage years, all across the world, in Tanzania and Africa, and just different places, the Dominican Republic. I mean, I got to go to the DR a little over a year ago and witness what Compassion International is all about as they serve these families and these young children who are stuck in poverty-stricken areas. Now, we're talking about food, education, medical care, vocational training, and an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Compassion is all about. If you're looking for a ministry to sow into, consider Compassion International. Check them out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum. compassion.com/sportsspectrum. Well, it's great to have Nate Prosser, former NHL defenseman, here with us today on Sports Spectrum. I've known you a while, Nate, but I'm glad we finally were able to make this conversation happen. How you doing, man?
Yeah. Life is good. Good to see you, Jason. Thanks for finally getting me on. I'm excited to be on with you.
Absolutely. Excited to talk to you and kind of learn your journey a little bit. I've known you a while, but I don't think I've really sat down and kind of heard your story. So what a better way to do that than here on Sports Spectrum. Let me start with Jesus. Who is Jesus to Nate Prosser right now? Tell me about your walk with the Lord.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, there's so many areas to go with that, I guess. Jesus is my everything. He's my firm foundation. And, you know, as I've, you know, I left hockey 2.5 years ago. I realized, you know, I gotta be the head of the household and make sure that, you know, our family's values and our foundation is all about Jesus as our number one. And you know, I have four daughters, and they all have to know that, you know, that Jesus is our number one. And you know, you can be a good student or a good athlete or good looking or any of that, that at the end of the day, it's all about letting your light shine for him to each and everyone that you come across. So that's kind of what we're trying to instill into our girls, and just trying to do the best we can parenting all these girls.
I like that. Firm foundation, and obviously making sure that Christ at the center of you and Britt raising your girls. Tell me about your yes moment. Your I once was lost, now I'm found moment. What was that for you when you said yes to God and kind of welcomed the Lord into your life?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian household. So, and I was the baby of the family. I was the third. I have an older brother, 3 years older than me, and an older sister, 2 years older than me. And, so we kind of went bang, bang, bang. And, every decision kind of was made for me. You know, I was basically forced to, you know, whatever I was dressing that day, whatever I was eating, Jesus was basically forced down my throat when I was growing up. Well, I eventually realized that it's not about my parents' relationship with Jesus. It's not about my brothers and sisters. It's all about my personal relationship with him. And that came about, I want to say, middle school-ish. We started doing Wednesday night youth groups at Emmanuel Christian Center here in Minnesota. And it was such a Christ moment for me when I started seeing different high schoolers and middle schoolers all kind of worshiping together and raising their hands together. And it wasn't about, man, I'm competing against Anoka tonight again in hockey, and then I'm playing against Blaine tomorrow in football. You know, it was just all, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And that kind of started my journey right there, as to, you know, having that personal relationship and wanting to live more like him each and every day.
Tell me where Elk River, Minnesota is, and a little bit about it. Sounds like I just sounds like a hockey town, I'm guessing. But Elk River,
It is.
what a title
Yeah.
for a place to live.
We're the Elk River Elks, real original.
That's right.
We're just probably 40 minutes northwest of Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And very, very hockey centered city town, of about, you know, 15,000 people. In the summers, we made Stanley Cups out of tin foil and played street hockey for hours on end. And then in the winters, we were all rink rats and we played outdoor hockey, and our parents wouldn't come pick us up until the sun was down for dinner. And so we took a, you know, there's a lot of pride in our high school team, the Elk River Elks. So like when they played, the city showed up, and there was a lot of people there. And even when they went and played, you know, Anoka or Coon Rapids or Blaine or Champlin, you know, we went on the road and watched them. And I always thought that was so cool. And it was kind of cool for me to see that we had a lot of good players that are older than me in Elk River. You know, Joel Otto and Dan Hinault and Paul Martin, some other NHL guys that were really good role models for me to look up to. They were very humble guys that almost kind of took me under their wings when I was, you know, in high school and juniors. And they were would have given me the shirt off their back. You know, they really are that type of people. So it's a very blue collar town that, you know, my dad always says, bring your lunch pail to work type of town. And we definitely played hockey that way too. We played hard. Whenever we played the City Slickers or the Cake Eaters, we knew we had to play those guys pretty dang hard to compete.
But the Cake Eaters against the Elks, like I just it just sounds like an amazing teenage years, you know, when you're having those matchups, Nate.
It was great. I mean, honestly, the Cake Eaters are Edina, and we knew that, you know, they're deeper than us. They had more top end skill, but we always competed with them. We always, you know, held our own, and we squeak out wins every now and then. But we knew it was like, we had to, you know, play gritty and and just kind of get under their skin. So that was that I, that kind of playing style stuck with me for all my years, which is, you know, kind of weird.
So in middle school, you said was around that time when you understood to make that relationship with Christ your own. You're also growing into becoming a pretty good hockey player. And you mentioned high school and juniors and those years and having some mentors. What was that intersection like of being a follower of Christ and being driven to be the best hockey player you could be at that time? What were those early years like as you started to mix those two together?
That's a good question. I mean, my dad was a great mentor, role model for me, definitely, and my brother. I was a late bloomer. I really didn't get heavily recruited. I never made a lot of the top select teams when I was growing up. I was undrafted. I was didn't really get looked at for the, you know, top end colleges. So I grew a foot when I was about 16 turned 17. I went from like 5'2" to 6'2". And
Wow, that's big.
from So like I finally started getting armpit air and stuff like that at that year. So I extended myself, and And before that, I was just kind of, just floated along in hockey, and I just did it for the love of the game, and I loved it. And well, finally, when I, hit my growth spurt for, well, from 17 to 24 is where my game kind of really ramped up. And my dad always kind of just, made sure my roots are planted deep. Almost overemphasizing that hockey's going to come and go. It's not who you are, it's just what you do type of thing. And so that stayed in me all my years, and which was hard to do because you leave home and you go play juniors in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, away from home. And then I'm away at Colorado College for 4 years. And then I, chasing my pro dreams and, playing in the NHL. And, hockey's, what you eat, sleep, train. I mean, literally, it's everything for your day. But, what has been so huge for me is, just having the, surround myself with, other Christian mentors and people, and having a wife that I'm equally yoked with, Brittany. She's been super important. Obviously, I can't even, important's not even, it's not even scratching the surface of how much she's meant to me and my faith and my walk and my journey. Because without her, I it would have been an uphill battle to stay true to my faith through my pro years for sure, and college. Just Christianity and hockey aren't something that really go together hand in hand. I always knew where whatever locker room Christ was going to put me in, I wanted to be a light for him.
Yeah, and I think I want to get into the sort of NHL experience in a minute, but was there a moment when you realized, you're chasing this dream of being a professional hockey player? If you're a hockey kid, like that's every kid's dream, right? Even for me, when I'm 12, my dream is to be a Major League Baseball player, to be an NBA player, and then reality kicks in for me and I realized, oh, that's not going to happen. But for you, reality started kicking in as you get older, you grow that, foot from 5'2" to 6'2". But what was the moment, maybe that was it, but what was the moment when you thought, oh, I might be able to make it to the NHL here? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I do actually. Okay, I was undrafted. Well, there was a specific moment around that 17 time that happened to me. I got cut from a select 17 team here in Minnesota. I was kind of one of the last cuts, and I thought I was going to make it. I remember getting in the car again, my dad. I started crying, and he said, "Nate, you know what? You can take this two different ways. You can, go play Elk River varsity, and be done at 18, and I'll be super proud of you. That's a great, great career. A lot that's more than a lot of other hockey players do. Or you can go down the other road and let this light a fire under your butt, and look at all those other guys that made the team on select 17s in Minnesota, and go outwork them." And all of a sudden, it was almost like a fire inside of me that was just like, "Yep, that's the road I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna, I've always been told I'm too slow." Well, all of a sudden, I started going to the track by myself and doing sprints and plyometrics and ladder work. And I was told I didn't have a good enough shot. And I went and, if I thought these guys were shooting 100 pucks a day, I went and shot 150 or 200 pucks a day. So that inner drive that, every kid needs to have in order to make it, got put into me at, around that time at 17. But another moment was, I in college after my sophomore year, I had a good sophomore year. I got asked to go to a development camp in St. Louis for the Blues and the Islanders. I did a couple of development camps, but these were important for me because all I've ever known is playing against, my Minnesota friends, and then in college hockey in the WCHA. Well, all of a sudden I go to these development camps. I started playing against Canadians and Europeans and these first and second round draft picks and third and fourth round draft picks. And I get to kind of match myself up against these guys and kind of just to see, am I way off here? Like, am I going to look like a Bambi out here, or am I, what, how am I going to, compete here? And, it's pretty eye-opening that I felt like I was pretty dang close. I'm like, man, if this is the Islanders first rounder and this is the Blues for, second round defenseman, okay, I'm not completely far off these guys. So, you know, that thought kind of got in my head around 20 years old, 21 years old, which is a little older. You know, I mean, guys are getting in the NHL now at 18, 19, and they, you know, 19, 20, you're kind of cracking in. Well, I knew I still had more years at college. I didn't get out of Colorado College till I was 24, so I'm really old all of a sudden. But I needed every step of the way. I needed juniors. I needed 4 years at college. I needed a year in the minors, and then, you know, jumping in the NHL. Just, you know, just to grow in my body and get stronger and more physical and faster. And that I would say that one moment of, you know, getting to development camps and, you know, kind of the scene where I stacked up. I knew I wasn't like, holy crap, like I should figure out my life after hockey here pretty soon.
He is Nate Prosser, and he's joining us here on Sports Spectrum, longtime NHL defenseman. So, April 5th, 2010, you make your debut, and it happens quick, right? Like, you signed, I think, in late March with Minnesota, your hometown team, by the way, and then suddenly you're in the NHL playing just a couple of weeks later. What was that time like? That must have been an incredible experience.
Oh man, honestly, what was that? 13 years ago, it feels like I could retell the story like it was yesterday. It was, I mean, I remember. So it was the end of my senior year. We lost up in Duluth in the playoffs. I was playing for Colorado College. We lost in Duluth, and as soon as we lost in the playoffs, I saw my family advisor after, and he says, "Nate, you know, you got some interest. Instead of flying back with your team to Colorado Springs, come down to the Twin Cities with me." And we, you know, just got some things to discuss. And I was already done with school at that time, so, you know, I was able to do it. I crunched some classes to, you know, get done with my senior year sooner, just to, you know, be able to hang out with my friends at towards the end of my senior year. And so I was able to go back down to the Twin Cities, and we kind of looked at depth charts and rosters and kind of got a feel on, you know, who's interested. And okay, there's, you know, five or six teams interested. Well, just so happened my hometown team, Minnesota Wild, was one of them. I'm like, oh man, this seems like a kind of a no-brainer, especially if I can sign with them and stay on the NHL roster for the last month of the year, because they were already eliminated from playoffs. So they agreed to that, and they said, you know, we're not going to guarantee that you're going to get any games, but you're going to get experience, you're going to get to know staff, you're going to get to know, you know, what the pro life, NHL lifestyle is all about. Meet some teammates and kind of see, you know, how what their work ethic looks like. And super cool. I signed, and I remember, you know, when I got the call from Chuck Fletcher, the GM, it was me and my brother and my mom standing outside of our house in Elk River. And I don't know where my dad was or where Britt was or anything like that, but I just remember us three, and we, like, it was almost like a tearful, like, just embrace once after that call came. And just because I was never supposed to make it, you know, like I don't know. I was just kind of the little bugger of my brother that, you know, was, you know, just, I don't know, just wasn't supposed to make it to the NHL. You know, it just wasn't supposed to happen for me. And, you know, to get that call and to be able to embrace my brother and my mom in that moment, and just knowing that, you know, it's not like, okay, now I'm in the NHL. No, I'm just gonna, you know, sign my first contract and let's see where I can run with this thing type of deal. And I remember getting on the plane, you know, 2 days later, flying down to Columbus or Nashville to meet them. It was just like a couple game trip, and just to be around the guys and practice, and, you know, see kind of what their day-to-day life looks like was pretty cool and pretty eye-opening. And so there's a couple injuries. We come to, you know, the last road trip, and it was up in Edmonton and Calgary and then back home. And our head coach was Todd Richards, and we had two or three defensemen get hurt, like a couple nights previous to this road trip. And I'm out skating around for morning skate. I'm just thinking another game I'm gonna watch up in the press box, which is cool. Like, you know, I'm happy to be here and to be a part of it. Well, Todd Richards skates up to me, and he's like, "Nate, how you feeling?" I'm like, "Yeah, good, good, good. I mean, my body feels great." And he's like, "Well, you ready to go?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think, you know, I'd be ready." And he's like, "Well, you're playing tonight." I'm like, "Holy crap! All right, well, And this is in Edmonton of like, you know, they're out of the playoffs, but it's still like Canada and people are nuts over hockey in Canada. And I just remember, you know, going back to the hotel, pacing back and forth. You're supposed to pregame nap, did not pregame nap. I made every call in my phone, texted everybody saying, hey, I'm in tonight, you know, get the game on Fox Sports North. And I didn't even think, but I'm, you know, I didn't have an international plan. I was up in Edmonton, so my bill was like $800 that month, something dumb, but but I got in that night, and just kind of, you know, remember the night pretty vividly of, you know, sitting in the locker room, sitting across like Mikko Koivu and, you know, Andrew Brunette, guys like that I grew up, you know, when I was in high school and juniors, you know, going down with my dad and watching, you know, games at the XL. Those are the guys I was watching and looking up to. And just to throw on the same jersey was pretty cool. I got an assist my first game to Andrew Brunette's goal. And so and then two nights later, the next night I played in Calgary. Another kind of just crazy experience lining up against, you know, one of my guys I looked up to, Jerome McGinley, kind of just crazy standing across from him. And then a couple nights later, we play at the XL Energy Center, and I played in that one, and it was against Mike Modano and the Dallas Stars. So cool experience on my last, you know, or my first three NHL games of, you know, to finish that season.
What an experience, right? And it's kind of a whirlwind because you're coming off college, you're signing your contract, you're going practicing, you're sitting in press box watching. Suddenly you got to get ready, you're calling everybody, and then you're just going out there. People watch the games and that's all they see, but we don't hear all the other things that are going on just to get ready for those games. Do you have anything? Like, do you have the jersey or the puck or anything like that from that first experience?
I'm actually sitting below them. There's a puck in like the game sheet that I got. You know, they send you a, you know, the rosters of who played and the score sheet on who scored and assists and penalties. And I got the jerseys, you know, I got one kind of, you know, in a frame. And
Nice.
super, super cool to, you know, even look back on, you know, the lineups and seeing some guys on there. Like I, you know, my goalie for a lot of my years in Minnesota was Devan Dubnyk, and he's on that list. He's playing for Edmonton in that game. So this kind of cool.
That's awesome. So your career, even at that point, you're not sure if you're going to somehow make it 10 years, you know, which you did in the league, 11 years. You're not sure that that's going to happen. You're just happy in the moment. But as you start to see your career evolve, right? And there was a little bit of up and down, the minors, and then you're eventually there and you're staying there. Again, going back to faith, which is what both you and I are, you know, so privy to with our walk with Christ. How does that part evolve as you begin to establish yourself as a professional? Like you said, Christianity and the NHL, it's not always, you know, the perfect match. How were you starting, or when did you start to see that, you know, maybe your faith could be a place where not necessarily you're living out, but that you didn't have to shy away from it, or maybe you had to. I don't know. What was that time like as you started to evolve as a pro and still be a follower of Christ?
So after that season got over, those three games, I got sent down out of camp, and my first kind of full season was in the minors in Houston, playing for the Houston Arrows. And the trainer, for some reason, I don't know if he knew I was a Christian or something, came up to me and said, Christians are a bunch of pansies and hypocrites. And I'm like, holy crap. Those are probably the two worst traits you can tell me, you know, if you think that's who
About a
I am.
person,
So
sure.
I, yeah, about a person. So like, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna, that almost like struck me to my core. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna not only prove this guy wrong, like the rest of my days of hockey, like I'm gonna show this guy that you're completely wrong with this. You're completely wrong. And I'm gonna show you. So, but then, you know, there was moments of times where, you know, I got involved in chapel programs, and I started to realize, you know, there is, you know, a couple other Christians on the team that we could kind of pour into each other and hold each other accountable. And then, like I said, you know, having Britt around all, you know, through all these years, she moved with me right away. We got married right out of college, and, you know, we were dating for like 7 years before that. So we kind of always knew, you know, that we were meant to be together. So we wanted to get married and make that next step together. And so we did that. And just, having someone that's equally yoked is of the utmost importance, I
Absolutely.
think, in my life.
Yeah.
And whenever I, got too involved or too in deep with hockey, man, it was so great because I would come home and I would start, could start talking to her about it, and she could feel my anger and stresses, and she would just, almost pause me and say, "Nate, like, look where we're at. Take a step back," and almost like pinch yourself type of thing, or slap yourself across the face. Like, life is pretty good. Let's do what we can to make this as long as we can go. And my first coach was Mike Yeo in Houston, and kind of amazing man. He good father, good husband, good coach, another good mentor for me. He's the coach of the Vancouver Canucks right now. He kind of sat me down almost immediately when I was in Houston and explained what type of role and niche I needed to be, to make a career. And so, this is where a lot of guys struggle, is like they come from college, and I played, a lot of minutes. I played on the power play. I played penalty kill. I played in big moments, up a goal with a minute left. I'm on the ice type of thing. Well, he said, those days are over. You're going to be a third set defenseman. You're going to kill penalties, and you're going to be a shutdown defenseman that, might play 10 or 12 minutes a game. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Like that, I wasn't expecting to hear that. I don't really like hearing that, but I knew in order for me to, make it to the NHL, get back to the NHL for one, and then try to like be there as long as I can, this guy's not wrong. I need to do this. So I was able to find a little role in a niche. And, back to my faith is, I told the Lord, like, okay, whatever locker room you're going to put me in, I just want to be a vessel for you. I'm here to glorify you. Like, whatever seeds I can plant, whatever, hearts I can, touch, it might be in Minnesota, it might be in St. Louis, it might be in Philadelphia, it might be in Dallas, it could be anywhere. Wherever you send me, Lord, I'm going to be a light for you. And that's all I want to do. And by how I played, the positivity I brought to the rink, the smile on my face, the friendships I made, the relationships that I had, not only with teammates, but with my coaches and trainers and Zamboni driver, I wanted to treat everyone the same way. There was one special moment in my career where, I signed with St. Louis. I was there until Thanksgiving. Then I came back, and they picked me back up off waivers, and just walking back in the locker room and, just hugging everybody and hugging the Zamboni driver and the trainers. And it was such like a, that was probably my favorite moment in hockey.
That's awesome. You mentioned, treating everybody equal. I don't know though, if a trainer called, I'm not saying he was calling you a pansy and a hypocrite, but he was kind of, I'm going back to what he said about, sort of generalizing Christians as pansies and hypocrites. And I'm thinking, you're an NHL defenseman where it's your job to hit people and to be tough. You're anything but a pansy. And the hypocrite thing, I get where that perception can come from. And I would imagine, because I always find it fascinating talking to hockey players who are Christians, but especially defensemen, guys like Josh Manson and some of the others that we've had on our show who love Jesus. They're like the nicest, gentlest people. You're one of those people, Nate. And yet you have to go out and be the toughest guy. Sometimes you got to fight guys. Sometimes you got to knock them and hit them upside the head a little bit. How are you able to kind of manage that part of what your role was as a hockey player, what your position was as a hockey player, without sort of compromising your faith? And I'm not saying you were perfect, because Josh was like, listen, I've screwed that up too many times, Josh Manson said. But how are you kind of managing that, you know?
I mean, I always knew like God gave me a specific skill set and ability, and he didn't want me to come here and, use it to 50% or 80%. So he wants me to use it to its fullest, and he wants that for everybody. So I wanted the grandma in the upper deck to be like, oh my gosh, like look at how hard that guy works. You know, like there's something different about that guy by his work ethic and the way he protects his teammates and the way he sticks up for his teammates. And if that means dropping my gloves, okay, like I'll do that. Like if a guy, if I'm playing with Justin Falk or Mike Riley or Nick Seeler and they get cheap shotted or even Zach Parise got cheap shotted, well, okay, who did it? You know, like I'm gonna stick up for you. I'm gonna drop my gloves and stand up for you. I mean, what better way to show your faith than, you know, being a man that, you know, sticks up for his teammates. You know, like there's a strong Christian, Stu Grimson that, you know, he's a well-known fighter, and he said that same line that, you know, back to, you know, like hypocritical and like I knew there's someone way bigger than me that's going to do the judging. I never judged anybody. So I like when I would go hang out with guys outside of the rink and, you know, whatever it might be, and we go to the rink the next day, it wasn't, I'm with sin. You know, Lord says he without sin cast the first stone. Well, I'm not going to be the one that's going to be like, well, you know, what were you doing there and why were you doing that? And, you know, if there's opportunities for me to, you know, tell them, you know, what I would have done or things I you should have done different. Like, yeah, okay, I'll try doing that. But I always look for those opportunities to, you know, explain my faith and talk about it. And the Lord brought them up a bunch of times, and it was almost like a light bulb moment where, like, okay, Nate, like nudging on your shoulder here, or I'm pushing you, like, okay, this is your time to, you know, explain who I am and what I've done in your life. And honestly, it's so amazing to look back on my 11 years of playing professional hockey, the hand that the Lord had in it, the doors that he opened, the doors that he closed, and keeping me healthy and strong. And you know, because I was always signed as a seventh defenseman. I would go weeks on end without playing. Well, that was hard in itself. You know, there was a lot of stresses and frustrations with that. There was a lot, you know, thinking in my mind, like, am I going to be ready when my number's called again? You know, I just, there's a lot of things to that. And the Lord always gave me energy, always gave me strength. And, you know, a Bible verse that I always recited before every game was Philippians 4:13. You know, there's times where I'll get on the ice and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Sharp were lined up against me. I'm like, man, like, does Nate Prosser belong on this ice sheet? Man, like, and the Lord and, you know, always, you know, was there with me and guided me and, you know, helped me play as hard as I could.
And he helped you. 360 career games. You said you retired in, a couple of years ago. It was January 11th, I think, is the date I saw officially, 2022. How difficult was that for you to step away from something you've been doing since you were a little kid?
It was hard, but I knew it was the right time. So my last season was the COVID year where, you know, the buildings was, you know, empty and they're playing white noise over the speaker. And it was just, oh man, like it's kind of painful. But the season got pushed back into January. It was going January to June. And, you know, my family always came with me wherever we went. Like that was like a staple. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But this time, having four kids in school and sports here in Minnesota and everything, like me and Britt thought, okay, this will be hard to pull from all that. So she stayed in Minnesota with the four kids. I went out to Philadelphia for my last year, and it was from January to June. And that whole year, you know, it just kind of wore on me that they're away and Britt's doing this all by herself. I couldn't imagine being a single parent with four crazy girls that just full of energy and, you know, just motor mouths. Like I couldn't imagine the amount of words that were being said a day at this house. I just knew, like she told me, Nate, like when you get home, like all I want to do is walk Target with a Starbucks in my hand by myself. And I'm like, man, all she's asking for is the little thing in life right now. And she just wants some. So once that June came around, it was like a full moment of clarity that it's time. Like, I need to get home and be around my kids. You know, my kids need me. I knew with my oldest that she struggled with the change and got super emotional when fall and winter started coming around and changing cities and changing schools and changing sports teams and changing churches. Like, that started to wear on her. So, man, like, just being around and just being present for that next, I took a full year off when I was done and just was like a tried to be a super dad. And the personality change in her was amazing. It was a full on moment where it just made me realize that kids spell love TIME. You know, they just need your time. They need your time. They need you around. They need you present. They need you, doing all the fun things that they like to do. Jump on the trampoline, go for bike rides, you know, watch a movie with her, have your arm around her, and being gone for those 6 months or 7 months. Yeah, it just kind of wore both of us down. So do I miss it? Yes. Do I miss playing games? Yes. Do I miss being around the team and going on the road with guys? Yes. But there's no way that, I could have kept trying to play, being gone and, trying to move different cities. It's easy to move your kids when they're little, but as they get older, it was way more hard. So, it was clarity for sure.
Well, now you and I are kind of teammates, which is pretty cool because you're serving with Pro Athletes Outreach, PAO, and Pro Athletes Outreach is the sort of parent ministry for Sports Spectrum, and you're in this sports ministry space as a hockey catalyst. What's this been like for you? Maybe even how has your walk with Christ evolved since you've kind of been getting into sports ministry?
I mean, PAO and the conference has been huge. It really has. There's no other way really to say it. So when I retired that June, we got asked by David Backus and Kelly Backus to go to our first PAO, and it was in Park City, Utah. So me and Britt really have never heard of it. We're like, yeah, we can probably make it work. It's a Sunday to a Wednesday or something like that. So kind of a weird time, but yeah, we'll go try it. Oh man, like, it was a full on fill our hearts up, fill our marriage up, and it was a time where, hey, I'm transitioning, I'm retiring, and I know it, and I'm gonna be around my Brit 24/7 now, and I'm gonna be around my kids a bunch. Like, I need some guidance, and I need some, some Christian role models and influence in my life. And all of a sudden, this community kind of came around me, and I almost felt like arms coming around me as I'm at this conference. And super cool moment. But and it was around, me and Britt just kind of embracing each other, and it was a very, very cool conference for us. And we couldn't wait to sign up for the next one. Like, it was, it's a yearly deal in the summer, and they bring in the best worship and bring in such good pastors and leaders that speak to your heart and speak to, things that are relevant to hockey guys and locker rooms. And so Steve Stenstrom asked, Brent and I, if, we could, help, build the hockey side of PAO. And it was, a decision that we didn't even think twice about, because we're entrenched in hockey, and we still are. We still have a lot of friends that are in the game, and now that our daughters are starting to get going in it, we have four daughters that all play hockey. Yeah. So we live at the rink still. But there's still a lot of seeds to be sown in the hockey world, and I love that I'm able to, still reach out to guys and tell them about, Bible studies that we have, or conferences that, the conference that's coming up, and and how much of effect it had on me. I know it can have an effect on them as well, and I'm 100% certain on that, just because of the product that is there, and that it's so easy to tell guys about.
Yeah, that's great. And well, I'm glad we're teammates. I'll just put it that way. And I'm glad that you
Yeah,
are
same,
doing what you're
Jason.
doing, man. I really am. Let me ask you one last question as we wind down. What's God been teaching you today? You mentioned four girls. That alone is enough, right? Four daughters, but all playing hockey, all active. Your wife's awesome, Britt. I love her. And just you and her kind of working together as husband and wife, as mom and dad, as, you know, working in ministry with PAO. But when you think about where you are today, what's God showing you? What's he teaching you right now?
It's so easy to hold tight to things and stuff and money and, you know, your plan and what you want to do and your kids and your wife. And well, he's just told me to, it's all his, it's all his. Like, what am I thinking? Like, he's entrusted me with, you know, a career that I've had. He's entrusted me in my next career. He's entrusted me with my wife and my kids. They're all his. Like, you're already out in front of us. I'm going to let you do the work. And I just want to be a go on your path that you provide for us. So I'm it's all about opening my hands to my finances and my family and to my, we're all just kind of borrowing it, right? It's not ours. It's his, you know, my house, my car, my, whatever it might be. It's so easy to hold it tight and say, what's that next thing? When do I have enough money? When do I, you know, when can I get this new car? Well, no, like just kind of more having the kingdom mindset, I guess, is what it's all about. And that's hard to do on a day-to-day grind with kids. But once I've been able to kind of start my day, each and every day, I try to start the day like that and just open my hands. You know, it might be a car ride where I'm just like, Lord, thank you for the new day. The day's yours. How can I, you know, walk hand in hand with you today? You know, and that's all I want to do.
Yeah. Your will be done, not mine. That's what I say with God every
for
day.
Sure.
Like, your will, Lord. Nate, this is awesome, man. It was great talking to you. Great connecting. And I'm glad we got you on the show. And I know we'll be seeing you soon. And thanks for all you're doing with PAO. And thanks for being on the show, buddy. Good to see you.
Yeah. Thanks for always doing the show, Jason. It's great to be able to talk Jesus on, you know, such a cool podcast like this. So thanks for all you do as well.
And many thanks to Nate Prosser for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He's a lot of fun. He's a great guy. I've gotten a chance to do ministry with him at a few of these conferences that he was referencing with Pro Athletes Outreach and PAO. And just love being a teammate of his now, but certainly love his story as well. You know, growing up in a Christian home, but finding Christ as his firm foundation and then sort of that underdog story, right? Like, this was a guy who was not supposed to make it to the NHL, much less play for a decade in professional hockey in the NHL with the Minnesota Wild, the Blues, the Flyers, raising four daughters, a husband and a dad, and anything but a pansy and a hypocrite. I'll just say that. That's Nate Prosser, and appreciate Nate for sharing his story here on Sports Spectrum. We thank you as well for tuning in. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com, for all of our content, articles and devotionals and podcasts. And you can sign up for our Sports Spectrum magazine, our quarterly magazine there as well. Very affordable, clean content, faith-filled, family-friendly. The Sports Spectrum magazine makes a great gift. You can even get 15% off if you use the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15. Go to sportsspectrum.com and sign up for our magazine today. We thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Please tune in next time for another episode. And we'll see you soon here on Sports Spectrum.